come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study through the Gospel of John. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
I had a couple of days ago, I went to put my shoes on, and I was walking, and there was just something wrong with my shoe, and I couldn't figure out what it was that was going on with my shoe. But I found out that a rubber band, it changed the way that I walked. My step was different because of the way that my foot felt. Well, I took my shoe off, and I discovered there was a little tiny rubber band in there that was just throwing off my walk. It was a small irritation. And it threw off my whole walk. I wonder if that isn't something that God is speaking to us right now. Does it only take a little irritation to throw off your whole walk with the Lord? I had that in my mind, and because I'm teaching on it and was going to share it with you this morning, as I'm pulling in, no matter how early I get up, I am always late getting here. If I get up early, I'm later getting here. If I get up later, I'm early here. I don't know how that works. I feel more together when I get up later. So anyway, so I'm pulling over here. I didn't do my first turn. I was thinking about the study, and I just went right past where I was supposed to turn. So I went up on Beach and then came around that way. And of course, in front of me is a tow truck. And I can't get around him. I'm saying, okay. And that came to my mind. Is this little irritation going to change your whole walk? So keep that in mind today, okay? And so, Father, as we just get into your word now, we know that we've already prayed for your word. We've already prayed for each other. But, Lord, we come before you right now as we get into this book of John, and we are thankful, Lord, for what you're doing in it. We thank you, Lord, for your presence with us, and we trust you, Lord, to teach us by your Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when my kids were little, and we lived in the middle of nowhere. You walk as far as you can walk, and you were still nowhere. When we lived out in Sky Valley, out by Palm Springs, every day at 12 o'clock, I would listen to Paul Harvey. And I don't know, there are a number of you who know who Paul Harvey was. But I would listen to him every day at 12 o'clock. And there was one thing that he shared that I remembered from that time. Now remember, this was from the time when my kids were little. And it was a Christmas story. It was a Christmas story about a man who, he was a good man. He was a caring man. And you've probably heard this story before. But he was a good man. He was kind. He was generous. He was all of these things. But he couldn't grasp this whole idea of Jesus becoming man, of God becoming man. He couldn't grasp it. He didn't want to be a hypocrite, so he didn't go to the Christmas Eve service with his wife. He sent his wife and kids off to the Christmas Eve service. It was nighttime. He's in his house with the fire going, and he's reading his paper or whatever he was reading, and all of a sudden the snow started falling, and it was falling pretty heavily. And he, as he's sitting there, he hears this little hitting on his window again and again and again. And finally, he discovers that this is a bird that's trying to get into his house, get into where it was warm. And so he looked at that bird and he thought, let me put something together to help this bird out. So he went out to the barn, he turned the light on at the barn, and he tried to shoo the bird in there, but the bird would not go. And then he thought, okay, so what else can I do? So he put some breadcrumbs out that led to the barn. And maybe the bird would eat his way into the barn and be warm and comfortable in there. But he wouldn't follow there either. And he realized, all of a sudden, this man realized that this bird was afraid of him. He didn't understand him. He couldn't understand his language. He didn't know, he just couldn't grasp, this little bird couldn't grasp that he was trying to be helped. And that this person, this man, only had good for this bird. And all of a sudden, he said, if I could only become a bird. And at that very moment, O Come All Ye Faithful was being rung on the church bells. And he fell to his knees on the snow. And there, at that moment, he believed what Jesus said, what the Bible has to say, that God became man. That story goes so perfectly with this portion of our text. God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. In the beginning, there are three books that have almost this same beginning. Of course, you know Genesis here in John, and then in 3 John, not 3 John, only because I have three fingers up. In 1 John, it also begins that way, and we see clearly that the Lord Jesus, as the one who created, he upholds all things. He was the one who was made flesh. He came to live on this earth, and he is the one who gives us eternal life. It is very clear in this portion of our text. Now, remember that this text was written approximately 60 years after the death of Jesus. Approximately 60 years John took to write this down because it was so important to him to say these things. Each one of those things, those three books, Genesis, John, and 1 John, tell us that he is in fact God, in the beginning God. And it lays it out there. Again, our purpose for this book here in John is found in chapter 20, verse 31. These things I have written to you that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. These things I have written to you that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The funny thing about my having to read that is that I have that memorized, but when I'm standing here, none of it comes to my mind. So we want to memorize those scriptures. And so it says, in the beginning, not from the beginning. There was, God had no beginning. He has no end. So in the beginning, Jesus Christ was there in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is one of the most beautiful names used to describe the Lord Jesus and his work. It is one of the most beautiful names. The Word, the Greeks would have understood this word that was logos. They would have understood what he was doing with this. The Greeks have 200,000 different words. But the Hebrews only had, I don't remember the number. I didn't write it down, so I don't remember the number. It was so many less. It wasn't even in the hundreds of thousands. It was just words that, like our love, you know, we don't have words that, well, I love my, I love macaroni and cheese. I love my children. I love God. We have no differentiation between that. But the Greeks had a word for each one of those emotions to communicate what it was that we were doing, who we are, what expressing. You've read things, probably you've read books that I have a couple of them that are. Simply Tuesday was one of those books that, as I read it, I felt like I was there, in the way that she used her words to describe the situation. Here in this text, John uses this word, word, to describe Jesus because Jesus came to communicate what God is, who God is, how he is at work in our life, his purpose for our being here. He communicated to the children of Israel. They had not been able to approach him, for they were sinful and God is holy. The Lord Jesus came to show God's love, and he wanted to save the people from their sins. He told his disciples, "He that has seen me has seen the Father," in chapter 14, verse 9. The Bible itself is also called the Word of God. You've heard people say, we're going into the Word of God. And I know Shannon, when she prays that you would bless our worship in the reading of the Word, these are the words, the printed words that communicate what Jesus came here to do, what God is like, what God the Father is like. And it says that all things were made by him. So you know the scripture you have in front of you there. Okay, so I heard this, John Corson, actually, as I was studying, I came across this. He said that the Father is the architect, the Son is the contractor, and the Holy Spirit is the laborer. God the Father is the architect. He makes the plan. He's the one who created the plan. God the Son is the contractor. The contractor provides the proper materials to be used. And so Jesus provided his own life, that those are the materials that needed to be used. And the Holy Spirit is the laborer. Genesis 1 tells us how the Spirit hovered over the face of the earth. And I remember writing something on that Genesis 1:1, and how the Lord just spoke to my heart about how the Spirit hovered over. And I know I've shared it with a number of you before when I had children, when my children were having children, and I was the one hovering in there, you know, because there was new birth happening, and that's what I see was happening here, that the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth as new life was coming to be. And so that's what we have in that. And then in verses 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. They had no way of comprehending it. The Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven to light up this dark world of sin. He came to show the people of his salvation. He is the way of salvation. Chapter 14, again, verse 6. He is the way of salvation, but many wouldn't comprehend or understand this because men love darkness more than they love light. Men love darkness more than they love light. And they wouldn't comprehend what Jesus has done. In verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now we're talking about John the Baptist. We have very clearly here who John was and who he was not. It's very clear in these portion of the text, through verses 6 through 8, that John the apostle is telling us that John the Baptist knew exactly who he was. And I love that. You know, Gail and I were talking earlier, and we'll get into it next week now, though. I'll try not to get into it too much right now because our time will run out. But the thing that John knew who he was, and he didn't really fit anywhere. And I love that because we all worry so much about what people think about us. We all worry so much about whether or not I'm liked. John, I see, was like, I have a purpose to do. I'm going to do whatever it takes to do this purpose. And then I'm done. So anyway, that's next week. So the text tells us clearly about that. And here it tells us that John came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all might believe. To bear witness of the light that all might believe. I see him almost coming on the stand, you know, in a courtroom. And this is the explanation of who he is. as you come up and you make that little vow that you're going to tell the truth. This was the introduction to John the Baptist. And here we have it right before us. It's like John is being described ahead of time like that. John the Baptist will later tell us that he was not the Christ, but was simply in a place of being a witness. He was in the place of being a witness. Now in verse 9, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. All men and all women are under that light. We all have the possibility of being under that light. That light was given to all men, to all women. This light is available for every single person. In verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He was in the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Verse 11. He came to his own. That first own is a different translation than the second own in this particular verse. The first one is speaking about he came to his own. He came to his own creation. He came to this world. He came and he was, creation recognizes who Jesus is. Creation has no problem with when Jesus was on this earth. It had no problem recognizing him. You remember as he walked on water? It was nature. It was the creation recognizing who he was. Remember when they did the, when he calmed the storm? That was the creation recognizing who he was. You remember when it said, if you don't praise me, if they don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. I believe that would happen. I wonder how those rocks would have cried out. Would it be like falling down the hill, you know, making a little noise? I don't know. But the creation recognized who Jesus was. And then it goes on to say, and his own received him not. His own being his people. His people did not receive him because they love darkness. They can't open, cannot open up to the light of men. The question is, have I received him? I wasn't sure about sharing this, but I've been hearing different places, different pastors mentioning this about their concern, and the other person wasn't a pastor that I was talking to, but they're concerned for people who are in the church who think that they're saved because they're in the church and they haven't received Christ. They don't have that personal relationship with Christ. I remember at Costa Mesa when I was a new Christian, I remember a number of people who kind of jumped on the bandwagon, if you will, and it only played off. I didn't know it at that time, played out later. But people who came to Costa Mesa because it was what? It was the cool thing to do. It was the in place to be. It was the happening thing to be at. And then we have the situation where people fall away afterwards because their commitment was to Chuck, their commitment was to the church, their commitment was to the in thing, and they hadn't taken the time to get that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is the fear of anyone who is a teacher, I think. I have that fear too, that there would be anyone that would not hear the whole gospel and not receive that whole gospel, thinking that this is a fun... Refuge is a fun place to be. I mean, really. We got new chairs and everything. You know, it's a good place to be, but I would not want anybody to be deceived into thinking that just because I'm here, I'm saved. It has to do with a walk. There's something more that happens after that. And so, have you received him? Because, verse 12, as many as received him, he gave the right to become the children of God to those who believe in his name. An illustration for you. This past weekend, I was invited to a double birthday party. Jessicuna turned 30, and her little boy, Zion Arrow, turned 1. So it was a joint birthday party for them. So when I was invited, so I brought some presents. And when I brought those presents, the thing that I noticed, well, I didn't like go, oh, this is really weird. No, I just was, you know, for the sake of illustration, I noticed when I brought the presents in, I just placed them down. Everybody could see all of the presents that were there. They were available to everyone, really. But they had somebody else's name on them. So they were all there. And I didn't stay long enough to see if Jess opened up her presents in front of everybody. But this is what I think happened. The first thing she did is Jess received the gift. She picked it up and brought it to herself. And then she opened the gift, participated in it. And then she kept it. She didn't immediately get rid of it. Now, she may re-gift it later, but for sake of our illustration here, she kept it, okay? That's what we need to do with Jesus. We come to that place, she received it unto herself. We need to receive him unto ourself. We take hold of Jesus. We open up the things that are inside of that through our study. And then we keep them, we hide God's word in our heart, and we keep it right there. And so to everyone who received him, he gave the right to become children of God, and it comes with a little tag, to those who believe in his name. Now this word believe, we've talked about it before, the word believe means to cling to, adhere to, rely on, trust in. The word believe means those things, but simply put, it means to put your weight on. To put your weight on. Now, I noticed that we have new chairs in here. And they're very nice new chairs. So those of you who are sitting in the back, you're not taking advantage of these new chairs. But when you came in, you didn't for a moment go, I'm not sure that that's going to hold my weight. You went in with a belief, because of experience, that that chair is going to hold your weight. And that's what we're talking about here. You believe in his name, Jesus, that he is able to hold your weight. He is able to hold your weight. We are able to trust in, rely on, cling to, adhere to him daily. And we need to do it daily. How do we do it daily? How does it change for us? We have that personal alone time with Jesus. Whenever you get that time, make sure you have time with Jesus every day. If you have anyone else in your life, I know there are widows here. I know that there are single ladies here. I know that there are moms and single parents and stuff. But if you have children and you never spent any time with them, what would happen to your relationship? Your husband, if you're married, what kind of a relationship would you have if you never talked or never listened? What kind of a relationship would you have? God wants us to have that kind of relationship where we take the time to talk to him and we take the time to listen to him. And God's been speaking to me a lot about that. In verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Not born of blood. There is no blood relationship that can make you become a Christian. The fact that you were raised in a Christian home means absolutely nothing. That you had Christian grandparents means absolutely nothing. It is what you do with Jesus. It all has to do with no blood relatives. It's only that will save you. Nor of the will of the flesh. That is, not intellectually. I can never be argued into the kingdom, and you can't argue anybody else into the kingdom. I'm just telling you. Nor of the will of man, no person can persuade you. No person can persuade me to accept Christ, but of God. God, by his Spirit, draws us to himself. It is, remember, Father is the architect, Jesus is the contractor, the Holy Spirit is the laborer. And he does that work in our hearts. He does the labor in our hearts as he speaks through us and to us. In verse 14, the word became flesh and he dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the whole only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the message, it says the person moved into our neighborhood. The person moved into our neighborhood. I love that. He came and he dwelt among us. He was our next door neighbor. He was moved into our house. He moved into this house, into this little temple here. He came in and he lived among us. He took us on. He took on a physical body just like yours and mine. When he was cut, he bled. When he was beaten, he hurt. Everything about his physical body was just like mine. When he was on the cross and was dehydrated, he had a headache. Not to mention all the other stuff that would cause him a headache, I realize. But a natural thing of being dehydrated is that headache, that horrible headache. He had that. With all of the other stuff in his body, he had that, and yet he was God embodied in a physical body just like yours and mine. It goes on to tell us in verse 14 to say that he was full of grace and truth. He was full of grace. We know what grace is. Grace is unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. And we're all familiar, so that is unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. And most of us have heard the saying, he was full of grace, that it's God's riches at Christ's expense. And it cost Christ everything. So we have his fullness because of what he did. And he was full of truth. The truth is that I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. That's the truth. He didn't hesitate to let people know that. He didn't really worry about. In his love for people, he told them the truth. And then it says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me, John 14:6. No one comes to the Father but by me. And in verse 15, John is on the witness stand again and tells us that Jesus, of whom he speaks, is preferred before me because he was before me. In the beginning was the Word who created all things. John was simply a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Open up your heart. Let him come in. And you know the story of Mary going to Elizabeth's house and how the baby leapt in her womb. How John the Baptist leapt in Elizabeth's womb at the being in the same area where the Savior was. John knew his purpose from the time that he was in the womb. That's my opinion. I believe that he knew that. So John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. What an amazing man who could see that Jesus was so much more than he was. And how often do we worry, and we've already talked about this, how often we worry about what people think about us. But John knew who he was. Oh, I pray that I know who I am. I want to come to that place where I really know who I am and I don't worry about who you think I am. What was it? Character is who you are. Reputation is who others think you are. We worry so much about our reputation and think so little about our character. Not us. Not us in here, though. I know that about you guys. So, John said that this man is much more preferred before me because he's better than me. Verse 16, of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. This is grace offered to all. God's grace, undeserved kindness. That doesn't mean that God has changed or that he just passes over sin, but when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he bore the judgment for us. He was that the judgment for our sin. So therefore, God could deal with us in grace, forgiving us when we don't deserve it. Have you ever done anything that you got forgiveness for that you knew you didn't deserve somebody to forgive you for it? Not even talking about God here. You ever been in a place where someone said, that's okay? And you know you didn't deserve it because you were outright being whatever. Yeah, most of us have had that. Verse 17, the law was given by God to Moses for the Jewish people. So verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So God gave us through Moses the law, but it could never save people because they could never keep it perfectly. Like Galatians 3, we can never keep the law perfectly. But God gave that to Moses as a precursor for us to know that we can't keep it and to know that he would be the sacrifice for us. So we would understand that. So grace came through Jesus Christ. He took the sinner's place. In verse 18, no one has seen the Father, has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. No man can see God because God is a spirit and has no bodily form. In chapter 4, verse 24, and then in Luke 24, 39, no man has ever seen God. When God wanted to speak in the Old Testament times, he took on the form of a body. It wasn't somebody who was, oh yeah, that was Tom, or you know, that we saw down the street. No, he didn't take possession of somebody's body. I'm not saying that. But he would come in the form of a body, and then it would be gone. And in the Old Testament, it was called a Christophany, that an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. And sometimes he came as a pillar of fire. Sometimes he came as the smoke there. But the one thing was that the people could not draw close to him in that state. So we could see the form of God, but we couldn't see God. When Jesus came, we saw God because he explained to us. The Lord Jesus took a human body and lived in this world to show us what God is like. We were able to see what God is like through him. John said, you see him as the Son of God. When he was talking to, over in verse 35, I know that we'll cover that next week, but again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And we don't see John talking badly about them because they left his group. I love that. I love that. He knew his purpose. And we need to be able to give God the glory for whatever it is in our life. Give God the glory. And Jesus shows us who God is, and we understand it. That's what the book of John is about. That's what we'll get into next week. And Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, for ministering to us this morning. I thank you, Father, for your precious presence, Lord. Father, I pray as these ladies get into their groups that you, Lord, would minister to them. that you would be everything that they need, Lord. The facilitators, as they didn't get a chance beforehand to go over all of this stuff with me and for directions and stuff, I thank you that they are directed by your Holy Spirit, and they'll talk about whatever you lead them to talk about. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your goodness toward us. And remind us always to pray for the leaders of our nation, Lord, that they would make wise decisions and somehow that they would bring glory to your name, Lord. We all want to get back to people just coming to Jesus. And so we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.